You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Father Silvanus Razzi relates that a devout ecclesiastic who had a tender love for Queen Mary had heard her beauty so much extolled that he ardently desired once to see his lady, and with humble prayers asked of this favor. The kind mother sent an angel to tell him that she would gratify him by allowing him to see her, but on this condition, namely that after seeing her, that he should become blind. He accepted the condition, and on a certain day, behold, the Blessed Virgin appeared to him, and that he might not become wholly blind, he at first wished to look at her with one eye only, but afterwards, becoming enamored of the great beauty of Mary, he wished to contemplate her with both. And then the Mother of God disappeared. Deeply grieved at having lost the presence of his queen, he could not cease weeping. Not indeed for his lost eye, but that he had not seen her with both. Then he began to supplicate her anew, that she would appear again to him, and he would be willing to lose the other eye and become entirely blind. "Happy and satisfied, O my lady," he said, "I will remain, if I become wholly blind for so good a cause, which will leave me more enamored of thee and of thy beauty." And again Mary was willing to satisfy him, and again she consoled him with her presence. But because this loving queen can never injure anyone, when she appeared to him the second time, not only she did not take from him the other eye, but she even restored to him the one he had lost. Could the faith of this young priest be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome here to Christian Roots, where we explore why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. Through the writings of the ancient church fathers, saints, and mystics of the church, and through these enormously extraordinary books that have been written by these great saints of old. Great books, which, sadly enough, not too many Catholics are even remotely aware of. And as such, we will continue on in this journey that we've been doing in this extraordinary book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, entitled The Incarnation, Birth, and Infancy of Jesus Christ. We left in our previous program at the point where he said this, where he relates that, quote, Saint Bernard says that from the beginning of the world itself had seen the power of God in the creation and his wisdom in the government of the world, but only afterwards in the incarnation of the Word was seen how great was his mercy. How extraordinarily true that is. That in looking round at us, at the beauty of creation, it gives us a sense of the power and majesty of God. But it was through the incarnation, the Word made flesh, that we were able to, in a way, begin to comprehend how great God's mercy is. That, as we've heard it said over and over again in Holy Mass, that God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved Son to take on our humanity, to take on our flesh, and to take up our sins with him onto the wood of the cross.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As St. Alphonsus Liguori writes, in what manner could the Lord better display to thankless men His goodness and His love? Man, by despising God, says St. Fulgentius, put himself aloof from God forever. But as man was unable to return to God, God came in search of him on earth. And as St. Augustine had already said as much, because we could not go to the mediator, he condescended to come to us. I will draw them with the cords of Adam and with the bands of love. Men allow themselves to be drawn by love. The tokens of affection shown to them are a sort of chain which binds them, and in a matter forces them to love those who love them. For this end, the eternal Word chose to become man, to draw to himself by such a pledge of affection the love of men. God was made man that God might be more familiarly loved by man. And it seems that our Redeemer wished to signify this very thing to a devout Franciscan called Father Francis of St. James, as is related in the Franciscan diary for the 15th of December. Jesus frequently appeared to him as a lovely infant, but the holy friar, longing in his fervor to hold him in his arms, the sweet child always fled away. Wherefore the servant of God lovingly complained of these departures. And so one day the divine child again appeared to him. But how? He came with golden chains in his hands to give him to understand that now he came to make him his prisoner and to be himself imprisoned by him, never more to be separated. Francis here, emboldened at this, fastened the chains to the foot of the infant and bound him round his heart, and in good truth, from that time forward, it seemed to him as if he saw the beloved child in the prison of his heart, made a perpetual prisoner. That which Jesus did with this his servant on this occasion, he really has done with all men when he was made man. He wished with such a prodigy of love to be, as it were, enchained by us and at the same time to enchain our hearts by obliging them to love him. According to the prophecy, I will draw them with the cords of Adam, with the bands of love. We tend to forget so often and take for granted the enormous mystery of the Incarnation, where through the Incarnation, the infinite came down and took flesh, so one could say, in a sense, to be equal with men and walk with men. What enormous act of humility that is, of humbleness. And the extraordinary thing is that that humility, that humbleness, took him to the cross for love of us. And it didn't stop there. In that humility and humbleness of the Word made flesh, he even condescended to be even lower than man by being body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Where in the Eucharist, our Lord has made himself even lower than us, so as to be present in every tabernacle of the Word of the world. And where in Holy Communion, in that sacrament of love, in the Eucharist, when we receive the Eucharist, we, the Bride of Christ, come into communion and union with the Heavenly Groom himself, the wedding feast of the Lamb in my parish and yours, where when we go up to receive Holy Eucharist, we, the Bride of Christ, become one flesh with our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, blood of my blood. The two become one in Holy Communion. All made possible because of the Incarnation itself. St. Alphonsus Liguori goes on to write, "In diverse ways, says St. Leo, had God already benefited man, but in no way has he more clearly exhibited the excess of his bounty than in sending him a Redeemer to teach him the way of salvation and to procure for him the life of grace. The goodness of God has imparted gifts to the human race in various ways. It surpassed the ordinary bounds of its abundant kindness when in Christ, mercy itself came down to those who were in sin. Truth to those wandering out of the way, and life to those who were dead." Dead in sin. St. Thomas asks why the incarnation of the Word is called the work of the Holy Ghost and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost. We hear that so often at Mass. And so he goes on to write, "It is certain that all God's works, styled by theologians opera ad extra, external works, are the works of all the three divine persons. And why, therefore, should the incarnation be attributed solely to the person of the Holy Ghost? The chief reason which the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas, assigns for it is because all the works of divine love are attributed to the Holy Ghost, who is the substantial love of the Father and of the Son. And the work of the Incarnation was purely the effect of the surpassing love which God bears to man. But this proceeded from the very great love of God that the Son of God should assume flesh to himself in the womb of the Virgin. And this the prophet would signify when he says, God will come from the south, that is, observes the Abbot Rupert, from the great charity of God he has shone upon us. For this purpose again, writes St. Augustine, the Eternal Word came upon the earth to make known to man how dearly God loved him. And to St. Lawrence Justinian, who said that in no instance has he so clearly manifested his amiable charity to men as when God was made man. But what still more evidence the depth of the divine love towards the human race is that the Son of God should come in search of him whilst man was fleeing away from him. Interesting insight that is. That God, the Son of God, came in search of man at the same moment that man was fleeing from him. He goes on to write, this the apostle declares in these words, nowhere doth he take hold of the angels, but of the seed of Abraham he hath hold. On which St. John Chrysostom thus comments, he says not he received, but he seized hold of, from the figure of those who are in pursuit of fugitives, that they may effect their capture. Thus God came from heaven to arrest, as it were, ungrateful man in his flight from him. It is as if he had said, O man, behold, it is nothing but the love of thee that has brought me on earth to seek after thee. Why wilt thou flee from me? Stay with me. Love me. Do not avoid me, for I greatly love thee. God came then to seek lost man, and that man might the more easily comprehend the love of this his God for him, and might surrender his love in return to one who so deeply loved him. He willed, the first time of his appearance, under a visible form, to show himself as a tender infant laid upon straw. O blessed straw, fairer than roses or lilies, exclaims St. Peter Chrysologus. What favored land produce you? Oh, what an enviable lot is yours to serve as a bed for the King of Heaven. But alas, continues the saint, alas, you are but cold for Jesus, for you know not how to warm him in that damp cavern, where he is now shivering with cold. But you are fire and flames for us, since you supply us with a flame of love, which rivers of water shall never quench. It was not enough, says St. Augustine, for the divine love to have made us to his own image in creating the first man, Adam. But he must also himself be made to our image in redeeming us. Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, beguiled by the serpent, which suggested to Eve that if she ate of that fruit, she should become like to God, acquiring the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore the Lord then said, "Behold, Adam is become one of us." God said this ironically, and to upbraid Adam for his rash presumption. But after the incarnation of the Word, we can truly say, "Behold, God is become like one of us."
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
As I've said on numerous occasions, especially at my Catholicism 101 sessions at my parish, that St. Augustine has a way of taking something which is extraordinarily complicated and making it very simple for everyone to understand. And so it is with those words with which we ended the previous segment. Whereas St. Alphonsus Liguori again relates, and it does well to repeat this, that, quote, "It was not enough," says St. Augustine, "for the divine love to have made us to his own image in creating the first man, Adam. But he must also be made to our image in redeeming us. Adam partook of the forbidden fruit beguiled by the serpent, which suggested to Eve that if she ate of that fruit, she should become like to a god, acquiring the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore the Lord then said, 'Behold, Adam has become one of us.' And God said this ironically, and to upbraid Adam for his rash presumption. But, as St. Augustine then relates, after the incarnation of the Word, we can truly say, 'Behold, God is become like one of us.' Look then, O man," exclaims St. Augustine, "thy God is made thy brother. Thy God is made like thee, a son of Adam, as thou art. He has put on thy selfsame flesh. He has made himself passible, liable to suffer, and to die as thou art. He could have assumed the nature of an angel, but no. He would take on himself thy very flesh, that thus he might give satisfaction to God with the very same flesh, though sinless, of Adam the sinner. And he even glorified in this, oftentimes styling himself the Son of Man. Hence we have every right to call him our brother. It was an immeasurably greater humiliation for God to become man than if all the angels and saints of heaven, with the divine mother herself, had been turned into a blade of grass, or into a handful of clay. Yes, for grass, clay, princes, angels, saints, are all creatures. But between the creature and God, there is an infinite difference." "Ah," exclaims St. Bernard, "the more a God has humbled himself for us in becoming man, so much the more has he made his goodness known to us. The smaller he has become by humility, the greater he has made himself in bounty. But the love which Jesus Christ bears to us," cries out the apostle, "irresistibly urges and impels us to love him. The charity of Christ," it is said, "presseth us. O God, did not faith assure us of it? Who could ever believe that a God, for love for such a worm as man is, should himself become a worm like him?" A devout author says, "Suppose by chance that passing on your way, you should have crushed to death a worm in your path. And then someone observing your compassion for the poor creature should say to you, well, now if you would restore that dead worm to life, you must first yourself become a worm like it, and then must shed all your blood and make a bath of it in which to wash the worm, and so it shall revive. What would you reply? Certainly you would say, and what matters it to me whether the worm be alive or dead, if I should have to purchase its life by my own death? And much more would you say so if it was not an inoffensive worm, but an ungrateful asp, which in return for all your benefits had made an attempt upon your life. But even should your love for that reptile reach as far as to induce you to suffer death in order to restore it to life, what would men say then? And what would not that serpent do for you whose death had saved it, supposing it was even capable of reason? But this much has Jesus Christ done for you, most vile worm, and you with the blackest ingratitude have tried oftentimes to take away his life, and your sins would have done so were Jesus liable to die anymore. How much viler are you in the sight of God than is a worm in your own sight? What difference would it make to God had you remained dead and forever reprobate in your sins, as you well deserved? Nevertheless, this God had such a love for you that to release you from eternal death, he first became a worm like you, and then to save you would lavish upon you his heart's blood, even to the last drop, and to ensure the death, and to endure the death which you had justly deserved. Yes, all this is of faith, and the Word was made flesh. He hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Holy Church declares herself to be filled with terror at the idea of the work of redemption. I consider thy work and was afraid. And this the prophet said of old, O Lord, I have heard thy hearing and was afraid. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, for salvation with thy Christ. Hence St. Thomas terms the mystery of the Incarnation the miracle of miracles, a miracle above all comprehension, in which God showed how powerful was his love towards men, which of God made him man of creator, a creature. Think of that God went from being creator to creature in the flesh out of love for you and me. The creator, says St. Peter Damian, springs from the creature of Lord. It made him servant of impassible, subject to sufferings and to death. He hath showed might in his arm. St. Peter of Alcantara one day, hearing the gospel sung, which is appointed for the third Mass on Christmas night. In the beginning was the Word. In reflecting on this mystery, he became so inflamed with divine love that in a state of ecstasy, he was borne a considerable space through the air to the foot of the Blessed Sacrament. And St. Augustine says that his soul could feast forever on the contemplation of the exalted goodness of God manifested to us in the work of human redemption. For this reason, it was that the Lord sent this saint on account of his fervent devotion to this mystery to inscribe these words on the heart of St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi. And the Word was made flesh. St. Alphonsus goes on to write, "Whoever loves has no other end in loving but to be loved again. God, then, having so dearly loved us, seeks nothing else from us, as St. Bernard remarks, but our love." What they're saying here, the saints, is that God did this all out of love for you and me. The incarnation, the suffering, passion, and death of our Lord, the crucifixion, the Eucharist. It was all done out of love that the Creator had for his creatures, you and me. And the only thing that the Creator, our Lord, our God, wants in return is our love. As I've said on many occasions in my programs and in my Catholicism 101 sessions, the only thing that a parent wants, truly wants from their child, is only one thing, really. And that is unconditional love. All the things that a parent does for a child, not because they want something in return of monetary value, but the only thing that a parent truly, truly wants in return from their child is unconditional love. And so it is with God. For everything that God has done for you and me, the only thing he desires in return is our unconditional love. Unconditional love, which is a sign of the true love that we bear for him. What an extraordinary mystery that is. An incomprehensible mystery. All God wants from you and me is unconditional love. He goes on to write, and I'll read that part again. "Whosoever loves has no other end in loving but to be loved again in return. God then, having so dearly loved us, seeks nothing else from us, as St. Bernard remarks, but our love." When God loves, he desires nothing else than to be loved. Wherefore, he goes on with this admonition to each one of us. He has made known his love that he may experience thine. O man, whoever thou art, thou hast witnessed the love which God has borne thee in becoming man, in suffering and dying for thee. How long shall it be before God shall know by experience and by deeds the love thou bearest him? Ah, truly every man at the sight of God clothed in flesh and choosing to lead a life of such durance and to suffer a death of such ignominy ought to be enkindled with love towards a God so loving. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and wouldest come down. The mountains would melt away at thy presence. The waters would burn with fire. Oh, that thou wouldest deign, my God. Thus cried out the prophet before the arrival of the divine word upon earth. Thou wouldest deign, my God, to leave the heavens and descend here to become man amongst us. Ah, then, on beholding thee like one of themselves, the mountains would melt away and men would surmount all obstacles and remove all difficulties in observing thy laws and thy counsels. The waters would burn with fire. Oh, surely thou wouldest enkindle such a furnace in the human heart that even the most frozen souls must catch the flame of thy blessed love. And in fact, after the incarnation of the Son of God, how brilliantly has the fire of divine love shone to many loving souls. And it may be indeed asserted, without fear of contradiction, God was more beloved in one century after the coming of Jesus Christ than in the entire 40 preceding centuries. How many youths, how many of the nobly born, and how many monarchs even have left wealth, honors, and their very kingdoms to seek the desert or the cloister, that there in poverty and obscure seclusion, they might the more unreservedly give themselves up to the love of this their Savior. How many martyrs have gone rejoicing and making merry on their way to torments and to death? How many tender young virgins have refused the proffered hands of the great ones of this world in order to go and die for Jesus Christ and so repay in some measure the affection of a God who stooped down to become incarnate and to die for love of you and me. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
have been listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.